Today's episode of SideQuest is dedicated to two verticals in gaming I don't take part in, mobile gaming and PC gaming. As a console and traditional handheld kind of guy, I only play games on PC once in a very great while, and I don't play games on mobile at all because, well, I guess you could say I have taste. But I wanted to touch on these two subjects this week because they randomly intersected in the most unusual and unexpected way possible, and I truly believe something thought-provoking and worth saying can come out of all of this. In short, renowned developer Blizzard announced a new Diablo game, a franchise you typically find at home on PC, with perhaps a little console seasoning thrown in the mix a bit later. But this new Diablo game, Diablo Immortal, is a mobile game and only a mobile game. And well, it turns out Diablo fans didn't much care for this announcement, at all. The story here for me isn't necessarily the announcement itself or the existence of Diablo Immortal as a mobile game, though both components readily play into the tale. Rather, the real story is in everyone's reactions to the product itself. Gamers are unhappy, games media, as is usual, is unhappy with its own readers, listeners, and viewers, and I'd imagine Blizzard, its Activision overlords, and the many people who undoubtedly worked on Diablo Immortal aren't happy either. No one is happy, and I think there's something deeper worth getting into here, a stark reminder that we're better off being understanding human beings than snarky denizens of an increasingly snarky, and dare I say increasingly boring and predictable internet. It only takes a brief moment of silence to realize that this is all overblown, and that people are fighting yet again for absolutely no reason, with nothing at stake and nothing whatsoever to gain. Let's get you caught up first, though, and then we can delve in for a swim. The Diablo franchise began 22 years ago in 1996, and it quickly found itself a substantial audience at a time when PC gaming wasn't anywhere near the heights it has reached today, and it came packing a lot of the features that players across platforms still love. It's an action RPG, its environments are randomly generated, it focuses on a loot grind that keeps players engaged and focused for hours upon hours, and so on and so forth. Even though its graphics are undoubtedly antiquated, its spirit definitely isn't. Games ranging from Path of Exile and Destiny 2 to Grim Dawn and The Division still encapsulate some, if not sometimes most, or even all of that spirit today. It turns out David Brevik and his crew in the mid-90s knew what they were doing, and so Diablo, both as a game and later as a nascent franchise, would be cemented into gaming history forever. A year after the original's release, in 1997, a Diablo expansion called Hellfire was launched, and a year after that, a modified version of the game came to PS1. Fast forward a short while to 2000, and you'll find Diablo's true sequel, Diablo 2, along with its expansion, 2001's Lord of Destruction. But here's the thing for those unaware. Following Lord of Destruction's launch, there was nothing for 11 full years, like nothing at all in the realm of Diablo. It took more than a decade for Blizzard to launch the much-awaited Diablo 3, and when it did come out in 2012, there was incredible fanfare, robust console releases, and a couple of expansions, the last of which came out just last year. Between original, base games, and expansions, the Diablo series as a whole has sold many tens of millions of copies. It's a smash hit and a mainstay not only for the hardcore PC gaming contingent, but for those who love hack-and-slash grindy role-playing games. Plenty of my fellow console peasants enjoy Diablo 3 too. And so it's no surprise that its vast audience has taken some ownership over where they hope it goes next. For many of them, nothing will exceed Diablo in the entertainment value it provides to them. They love it, they miss it, and they want more of it. That brings us to today, or well, at least to a few days ago, when the next Diablo game was set to be revealed at BlizzCon, Blizzard's annual gathering and celebration of its expansive catalog of popular wares, games like the aforementioned Diablo 3, but also Hearthstone, Overwatch, Heroes of the Storm, World of Warcraft, and more. Blizzard employs nearly 5,000 people around the world, it's no small outfit, and its games are no small deal. So it was truly striking to many players, and certainly to many of the studio's fans, when for only the fourth time in 22 years, they announced a new Diablo game. It's called Diablo Immortal, and as was already said at the top of the video, it's a mobile game, only a mobile game. When asked for clarification during a Q&A, the developers on stage at BlizzCon noted that there were no plans to bring the game to PC. And as you probably know, one particularly snarky fan asked if the entire ordeal was nothing more than an early April Fool's joke. Inartful and cringy to be sure, but believe me when I tell you, the internet never forgets. The entire situation entered a readily identifiable cycle, allow me to walk you through it. For starters, Blizzard is owned by Activision, and while all corporations are focused on the so-called pursuit of profit, Activision has been especially well known for shirking convention or reason to chase the bottom line. This is why they've crafted an entire first-party ecosystem that does virtually nothing but make Call of Duty games, year in and year out, with no end in sight, and why their Destiny series is so incredibly central to their portfolio. This isn't a publisher that takes risks or does the unexpected. I mean, even Sekiro: Shadows Die Twice, which comes out in just a few months, is at first blush an unusual Activision game. But is it? It's a From Software game, it's about as safe a bet as you can make. But there was something un-Activision about Blizzard, until suddenly, at BlizzCon, they seemingly became indistinguishable. There's no doubt about it, at least from my perspective. You can't tease Diablo announcements at your annual convention, pack a bunch of diehard fans into the room, and then show them a mobile game. I'm not even speaking about the wisdom of the game being made and ultimately launched. I'm simply talking about how it was teased, how it was revealed, and how no one at Activision or Blizzard seemed to be prepared for what was inevitably going to happen. Did they think people were going to applaud and be excited? Did they think that facetiously asking the audience if they have phones when they started booing was a good way to deal with your most ardent, money-wielding fanbase? How can you blame players for being ruthlessly skeptical? Mobile gaming is largely almost universally awful, and you just told them their beloved franchise's fourth core installment in 22 years is a mobile exclusive. This isn't how you build trust, but it is how you break it. That was just the start of the cycle, though. The arguments moved online, not only to YouTube, where multiple trailers for the game have been downvoted to a degree virtually unseen in the history of Google's video platform, but to social media, where more predictable lines were drawn. Many would-be players and consumers were aghast and upset, some to a comical and melodramatic degree. That brought in the games media, which largely hates its own audience and doesn't seem to actually understand the passions of fandom and where those passions sometimes lead, and so they jumped in. And then people were mad at each other, and then articles were written, and then more YouTube videos were created, and I'm sure some people expressed consternation on Twitch, and whatever else. The point is, the outrage feeds the outrage. Your outrage over the game feeds the websites that hate you, and the websites that hate you feed the YouTubers that hate those websites, and those YouTubers feed the passions of a fanbase longing for more of what they love, and so on and so forth. The reality is, everyone is to blame and no one is innocent, and it's easy to point at this video, the one you're watching now, and say it's feeding into the cycle too. Perhaps you're right, I'll leave that up to you to decide. But rather than nourish the outrage, I wanted to make a video that helped ease the tension a bit, and put a realistic lens through which you can see the situation as it is. See, Blizzard is working on multiple Diablo projects, they've said it themselves. No one doubts that Diablo 4, like a real true Diablo game for PC gamers, is going to come out. Now, Blizzard's seeming flippance when it comes to timelines fills their fans with fear, and understandably so. Nothing seems to happen on a timeline there, and like some of the great studios in the world, Rockstar, Naughty Dog, and others, their games really are done when they're done. So people are getting upset over nothing ultimately, because I promise you that Diablo 4 will be announced and released, and Activision and Blizzard are so flush with capital that one doesn't come at the sake of the other, which would be the case in many other situations with many other companies. But it's not as if Blizzard isn't to blame here, apart from that. By teasing multiple projects not too long ago, and then leading at BlizzCon with a mobile game that the core audience will undoubtedly loathe, was tone-deaf and utterly stupid, and leaving those poor game devs up there to fend for themselves, when a simple nod to Diablo 4, or a stinger at the end of a trailer, or something else entirely that would have mitigated the situation, was a cruel happenstance. Those guys aren't at fault. They're making the game they were paid to make, and they're in the crossfire due to poor PR and marketing strategies. It's not like they have no experience here. Hearthstone is a massive success on mobile, but it's also not a real Warcraft game. This is ostensibly supposed to be a real Diablo game, but it clearly isn't. Who's in charge over there anyway? Whose hands are on the wheel? Mobile gaming, and publishers' embrace of it, is solely responsible for so much that we hate about modern gaming. Free-to-play, loot boxes, pay-to-win, dumbed-down design and controls, and on and on. Small wonder, then, that the hardcore BlizzCon fanbase may take umbrage with Diablo on mobile. They're simply doing the math, and I don't blame them. But listen, the cumulative reaction from players has been truly cringeworthy and utterly inappropriate. Guys and gals, this is a video game. Express yourself all you want, downvote and comment and whatever else, but ask yourself this, is this reaction truly commensurate to the situation at hand? Some people are acting like the world is burning, it's absurd. It's a friggin' video game. I mean, I'm disappointed all the time with video games. I love classic Mega Man more than anything in gaming, and Mighty No. 9 made me want to jump off of a tall building, and Mega Man 11's 2.5 aesthetic could have easily driven me to the bottle. I expressed my opinions, but I didn't do so toxically and repeatedly, and I didn't take aim at a company or at individuals doing their best to entertain. People don't make mistakes intentionally, and it isn't a permanent stain on them for doing so. No one walked into a conference room at Blizzard and said, "We're gonna make a mobile game, everyone is gonna hate it, we're gonna make no money on it, and it's gonna cause us a lot of headaches. Alright, let's do it." If you're that upset, your best recourse is to make sure Activision and Blizzard receive precisely $0 from you now and in the future. If you want to talk, you should speak their language. At the end of the day, this entire fiasco, which no one will even be talking about in a month, is a stark reminder in the moment and in the time that we need to be better to one another. We need to speak more respectfully, have better intentions, and be willing to see the gradient. Remember when I told you that Jessica Price, the fired ArenaNet dev, deserved to be forgiven for what she did and said because it's ultimately meaningless and no one will remember her months removed from the situation? Well, I was exactly right. And I told you then what I'm going to tell you now. We need to de-escalate our culture of overreaction, of us versus them, and so on and so forth. These divisions are stupid. Publishers want to make money, sure, but they want to make money repeatedly, so they never intend, ever, to let their customers down, and so we need to frame our arguments with that in mind. Developers, meanwhile, often bend the knee to publishers who fund their games, so if you're mad at a developer for something, it probably makes sense for you to aim above them. And yes, players are passionate and engaged, sometimes in an over-the-top way, but they should be given the benefit of the doubt, not talked down to by a press that's wholly responsible for its horrible relationship with its readers, viewers, and listeners. But flip that coin, and you'll see that players need to relax too, because not everything is made just for you, on your timeline, in your price range, on your platform of choice. These various tattered threads breed nothing more than ridiculous and increasingly stupid flashpoints, just like this. It's time for everyone to be better to one another, to rise above the mediocre at best and well-earned reputation gaming has, and to once and for all stake in the heart this idea that, no matter what, our discourse needs to disintegrate. It starts with each of us as individuals, and if we do endeavor to be better, I promise you this: every toxic and unfortunate aspect of gaming will be inherently cleaned up and left for the better. Just you watch.